In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, and we're coming to the end of our series, Tongue Twisters. And we left off in James 3:4. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce, harsh winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. And we talked about the fierce winds alluding to the circumstances of life and how these can put pressures on us. And as a result, we don't respond in the spirit, rather we respond in the flesh. And as a result, our tongue lashes out. And I just want to kind of close on this last idea before we jump to the third illustration. The question is, how are you using your tongue? As a battleship or as a relief ship? See, the tongue is this incredible tool that God has given us. With it, we can praise God. We can say wonderful, beautiful things to lift one another up. But we don't have to look far to see how the tongue tears apart relationships and lives. But there's an example in the next verse, verse 5. And this illustration, again, is something small, but that has a powerful effect. It's the spark and the forest fire. James 3:5. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Let me share with you a story about a town that's actually pretty close to here where we're recording in Brookfield, Wisconsin. The most devastating fire in United States history burns in Wisconsin on October 8, 1871, called the Peshtigo Fire. Some 1,200 people lost their lives and 2 billion trees were consumed by flames. Despite the massive scale of the blaze, it was overshadowed by the Great Chicago Fire, which began later that night, about 250 miles away. Now, Peshtigo, Wisconsin was a company, lumber, and sawmill town owned by William Ogden that was home to what at that time was one of the largest wood product factories in the United States. The summer of 1871 was particularly dry across the northern Midwest. Still, settlers continued to set fires using the slash and burn method to create new farmland and in the process making the risk of forest fires substantial. In fact, the month before, there had been another significant fire in Canada to Iowa. Now, Peshtigo, like many Midwestern towns at that time, were highly vulnerable to fire. Nearly every structure in town was a timber frame building, prime fuel for a fire. In addition, the roads in and out of town were covered with sawdust, and a key bridge was made of wood. This would allow a fire from the outside of the town to easily spread into the town, making escape from a fire difficult. Now, on September 23rd, the town had stockpiled a large supply of water in case a nearby fire headed in the city's direction. Still, they were not prepared for the size and speed of the October 8th blaze. The blaze began in an unknown spot in a dense Wisconsin forest. It first spread to a small village of Sugar Bush where every resident was killed. High winds sent the 200-foot flames racing northeast toward the neighboring community of Peshtigo. Temperatures reached 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, causing trees to literally explode into flames. On October 8th, the fire reached Peshtigo without warning. 200 people died in a single tavern. Others fled to a nearby river where several people died from drowning. Three people sought refuge in a water tank, which boiled them to death when the fire came their way. A mass grave of 350 people was established because of the extensive burns made it impossible to identify the bodies. Despite the fact that this was the worst fire in American history, newspaper headlines on subsequent days were dominated by the story of another devastating fire, the Chicago Fire. Another fire in Michigan's Upper Peninsula consumed 2 million acres was even smaller footnote in the day's papers. Can you imagine the whole Midwest on fire? I'm sure you've seen Smokey the Bear. giving you the warning, whether it's a dry day or not so dry day, if the fire alert is high or low. But as amazing as these fires are, and the immense loss that happens because of these forest fires, there's another type of fire. Consider the human cost of Hitler's attempt to seize world power. It staggers the imagination. This one man's tongue, 35 million lives were lost. On the battlefields, one out of every 22 Russians were killed. One out of every 25 Germans. One out of every 150 Britons. The tolls on the Jews was even higher. Two out of every three European Jews perished in Hitler's attempt to rid Europe of all of its Jews. All because of one man's tongue. An orator, a master at whipping his audience into a frenzy. He can mobilize men by the millions at a word. His rages cowed visiting statesmen, and his tirades paralyzed his top generals and his countrymen, urged on by the lash of his tongue, memorized by the power of his words, fought on and on long after the war was lost, until all of Germany was reduced to a rubble. James makes the failure to control speech the very antithesis of authentic religion. Unlike the world of social media and fake news, where anything goes and there is no self-restraint. And that's the world we live in. How are you doing in your social media? Do you feel safe, protected behind the screen where you can just say anything you want, having no idea of the spark that you set and the fire that you set when you post something on Facebook, Instagram, etc.? Social media is the timber. It is the forest. And when you post something that is not for edification, when you post something out of anger, bitterness, whatever the reason is, you are now setting a spark and you have no way to control the fire that it will lead. There's a story about four men who decided to share their personal weaknesses with one another. The first man confessed that his one fatal weakness was kleptomania. He was a compulsive thief, usually pilfered only small items, but the fact remained that he stole things. The second man confided that he was an alcoholic, a secret drinker. He managed to hide his weakness, but there he was, drink in hand. The third man admitted that he had a weakness for women. He, too, had been able to conceal it so far. He was ashamed of it, but sad to say he indulged in numerous clandestine affairs. Then came the turn of the fourth man. The others looked at him expectantly. What was his secret vice? Well, I tell you, fellows, I don't steal, I don't drink, I don't cheat on my wife, or anything like that. I'm a terrible gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here. Let all gossips beware. The tongue, James says, is a spark. It sets ablaze a forest fire. And we sometimes lose perspective when we're in the heat of the moment, when we've been hurt, when we're feeling angry. And we say that one thing that we cannot take back. And then, boom, the spark is set. The sawdust is caught on fire. And before you know it, acres and acres of fire spreading across the forest, burning in an out-of-control blaze. You know, James goes to verse 6, and he says four things about a tongue that's out of control. He says the tongue is a fire. A world, the Greek word is cosmos, of iniquity. He's describing how the tongue is decadent. But then he goes on to say how the tongue is defiling. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. We lose sight of this. The best example I can think of this is when you say something that is just completely sinful and wrong, it's like you are just all covered with the smoke and the flame. Because see, when we say something, we think it just goes out away from us, but it doesn't. It actually defiles us. It clings to us. It's defiling. A third attribute or a third aspect of the tongue is it's destructive. And it sets on fire the course of nature. And this word, course of nature, actually in the original language, it means wheel of life. It covers, it hurts and impacts every aspect. From birth to death. And we know this to be true, don't we? We have children who grew up in a home with harsh words from their parents. And they're still carrying that pain as they grow up, and then they carry that pain into their family. It's sad. And then it's devilish, and it is set on fire by hell. And by the way, all those verbs, defiles, sets on fire, repeated twice, these are active verbs. They are describing an ongoing action. It doesn't stop. And it's interesting that the word hell at the end there is the Greek word Gehenna. And if you know anything about the history of this place, when Jesus was walking on the earth, Gehenna, also called the Valley of Hinnom, was nearby the home of James and the earliest followers of Jesus. This was immediately below the western hill of Jerusalem, which is known today as Mount Zion. This was a living illustration because it was a dumping ground where smoke and fire was perpetual to deal with the trash that was placed there. And so these are implications to an unruly tongue. It defiles, it disgraces and shames, it spots, it stains, it sets on fire, it sources hell, it's not God. Now contrast that with Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That is who we need to be. See, the tongue will either be influenced by the Spirit or by the flesh. The rule of God in the world is opposed by the rule of the devil. Oh, may we not quench God's Spirit. May we not grieve the Spirit, but rather may we be Spirit-filled under the control of the Spirit so that our tongue blesses and not curses. Remember the boy who cried wolf? We see lies, rumors, and half-truths. These things set life on fire. In 1761, two small earthquakes struck London, leading to this rumor that the city was due for the big one. And on April 5th, 1761, supposedly a psychic had predicted a catastrophe. Much of the population grew so panicked that they fled the town for a day, with those who couldn't afford fancier lodgings camping out in the fields. One soldier was so convinced of the impending doom, he ran through the streets shouting the news of London's imminent destruction, saying, sadly, he ended up in an insane asylum a few months later. Are you spreading the rumor right now? Has a rumor been spread about you? We've got to be careful. So as we close on this and we think about it, let me leave you with one passage about Jesus. 1 Peter 2:23, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. This is our example. This is our Savior. This is how we need to be right now in the world. Not returning evil for evil, but intentionally controlling the tongue so that we can stop the fire from spreading. If you're interested in getting our notes, email us at wfl@brooksidebc.org. We'll be happy to send you our PowerPoint presentation so you can review these notes so that you can grow in godliness.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.